I wasn't expecting to be a happy human being from a title. And once I won a championship, I realized that, like, yo, my view on this game is really about development. Like, how good can I be? It's not about, you know, let's go get this championship. I appreciate that stuff, and I want to win and experience that stuff, but it's not the end-all, be-all why I play the game.
All right, y'all, let's go. You know what, Stephen A., I think this topic should start with you. So KD says development drives him, not titles. Are you buying it, sir?
No, I'm not buying it. Not at this point in stage in his career. But I will give him credit for this. He has been consistent. So I'm certainly not going to call him a liar. I'm just not buying it. And the reason why I'm not buying it is from just a logical perspective. And I apologize. I realized that my mic has slipped off. I'm sorry. I didn't realize my mic has slipped off.
We could hear you, Stephen A.
No, okay. You're fine.
I said I'm not buying it.
We still could hear you. You're good.
Okay. I said I'm not buying it, but I'll give him credit for his words being consistent over what he has said religiously. Here's what I would tell you. KD right now, from a logic perspective, and Max, you can appreciate this being the logical mind that you are. KD, to me, is one of the top two players on the planet Earth when he's healthy, if not number one overall. We can debate it, but I think he's that great. He's that electrifying. He's that spectacular. He's just the real deal. And so when you talk about developing, when he said he wanted to play the right way and play in a system that really worked for him and to develop and continue to develop his skill set, which is why he went to Golden State to begin with, that, you know, with a championship having evaded him to that point in his career, even though you recognize that he wanted to win a championship, you could also see the way Golden State played, their movement, particularly without the basketball, the way Steph moved around without the basketball, the way they passed and distributed the ball and displayed such an incredible level of unselfishness compared to what he was experiencing in Oklahoma City. Obviously, that was something that he wanted to do, and we all understood that, and that was going to lead to him ultimately winning a championship, which was what it was about. But KD did not pull a Russell Westbrook here, which brings me to what I said a couple of weeks ago. You see, Russell Westbrook, I don't know if y'all been watching this brother. This brother's sitting there dishing out dimes left and right, and you playing with a bunch of dudes that can't even convert layups. I mean, it was a sequence with three straight layups. I mean, spectacular passes on the part of Russell Westbrook. They couldn't even convert. You see what I'm saying? So my attitude is, why end up there? Why go to Washington? You wanted out of Houston, but you end up in a worse situation, which is the Washington Wizards, because all you got is Bradley Beal and nothing else. And so as a result of that, clearly for him, it doesn't appear to be about championships just because of the situation he's in. KD can't say that. You decided to go with Kyrie. You were pushing for James Harden to come there, which is why James Harden approached Tillman Fertitta and the Houston Rockets brass this summer and told them, or actually in the offseason, and told them once the bubble play was over, I want out. And so when you look at it from that perspective, KD had Kyrie, plus he had every intention on facilitating James Harden landing in Brooklyn as well, because Sean Marks and those boys pulled the trigger because they knew they had to, because that's what the hell Kevin Durant wanted, and they want to make sure they give Kevin Durant everything that he wants so he can ultimately elect to re-sign with them long term, because they never ever want to lose him in Brooklyn. This is KD's team. That's one of the reasons Kyrie stuff is being tolerated now, because that's his boy, and this is KD's team. Whatever KD wants, KD gets. KD wanted Steve Nash. KD wanted Kyrie. KD wanted James Harden, and that's why you have what you have. Those are not situations that are conducive to just playing the right way. You're trying to win. So I don't buy his comments completely. I understand it's important for him to play the right way and to do things right. But ultimately, it's about closing the deal with KD. He knows that LeBron's got four. He's only got two. He should have had three last year. If he didn't tear his Achilles, he would have had a third championship and a third NBA Finals MVP. But it didn't work out that way. He pays attention to that stuff. He knows what the hell is going on. And I don't believe for one second that if they play the right way but they lose, that's okay with KD. He wants the chip.
I'm buying what KD is selling here. KD is an interesting guy, man. This is not KD years ago in OKC when he said, hey, you know, there are more important things in life than rings. And that sounded like excuses back then. And, of course, we all, like, you imagine MJ or Kobe saying something like that. These guys were killers. And even then I thought, but you know what? KD is different. He's an interesting dude, you know, always has been. He's not just like parroting what everyone else says. Stephen A., I talk about, and we've talked about, how he seems to have thin skin, burner accounts on social media, and getting into spats with celebrities and stuff like that. Literally saying he's going to spit on Michael Rappaport. But I said, in a way, I've come to think of him in a way of, like, why do you care what anyone thinks? Well, it seems like he respects people. It doesn't matter if you have a blue check mark by your social media or not. He gets into it with fans because they're people. And he respects people's, you know, what they have to say, maybe too much in a way. So he's just an interesting guy. I think what he's saying here is not what he said years ago, when it sounded to me like, it sounds a little bit like an excuse because you don't think you're going to win a championship. This sounds to me like something you might like even less, Stephen A. Trust the process. This dude is about process right now. I respect that. He's already got his championships. Now, I don't love the way he got them. He joined, he reverse engineered his greatness in terms of what a championship is supposed to mean because he joined a 73-win team that could not lose without him. Or even, you don't even need KD to join that Warriors team to win. They could have just had a normal all-star join that team. They couldn't have lost. It was KD, right? No, but now he's got the championships. He's got the rings. It's almost like, okay, media and fans and everybody, I need these rings. Okay, I got those now. Now I want to get to what I think is important, which is his own development as a player. Now, I'm quite sure he believes that if he's advancing as a player and he has these guys with him, that he will win a championship. But to me, the way I hear this is I'm not focused on the result. I'm focused on the process. And that is, look, he's over 30 years old now. He's been around the world a million times, right? He's seen it all. He's talked to all different kinds of people and is reflecting the kind of wisdom, I think, here that comes with age and that kind of worldly experience. He's thinking about the process, what's in front of him, what he has to do right now. The results will come. I have no problem with this remark. And furthermore, I'm buying it.
Well, I don't have a problem with it either. I just don't believe it totally. I mean, the reality of the situation is you came to Brooklyn, New York. You passed up on going to the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. You're in the media capital of the world because Brooklyn is one of the five boroughs. We understand what it represents. You don't win the championship this year. If y'all are healthy and y'all are on the court and you don't win the chip this year, they ain't going to live it down. I can assure you of that. Times are going to be hard. You got media members watching them and stuff like that. People talk about them being a bit truculent and acerbic, unnecessarily so. Just bad attitudes, particularly when it comes to two of their three stars. James Harden is considered a person to be on his best behavior, and he's been a pleasure to deal with for the most part if you talk to some people. But certainly that hasn't been the case with KD and Kyrie. Not that they care, nor should they. But in the end, here's the bottom line. You got to close. You got to close the deal. And if you're healthy and on the court together and you don't win, I assure you, walking the streets of New York City won't be too damn easy for you. You can't walk around with an attitude like, I'm just about the process and it ain't about winning a chip. Not with this bomb squad you've assembled. Max Kellerman, you're on the record. This might be the greatest offense ever assembled. That's what you said.
Oh,
you
it is. Can't, it's going to be.
You can't. We're not disputing it. You cannot have those kind of superlatives or those compliments aimed in your direction, and you don't close the deal. You can't. Not New York. You can get away with that on Oklahoma City. You can get away with that on Oklahoma City. You can get away with that maybe in San Francisco. Not Oakland. Maybe in San Francisco. You cannot get away with that in Brooklyn, New York.
No.
I don't give a damn if it was Staten Island. You can't get away with nothing like that in New York. Excuse the grammatical incorrectness.
True.
You can't, the double negative, you can't get away with nothing like that. Not in Brooklyn.
That's
oh, hell
right.
no.
Oh, you can't get away with hell nothing no. like that. The double negative is absolutely correct there. That's right. You can't get away with nothing like that in Brooklyn.
That's right.
Brooklyn's been waiting for a championship since the Dodgers left town in 1957. The last championship they got was 1955. And New York hasn't won a championship since 1973 in basketball. You're right about that. I don't think that's what KD is saying. I think he's on a different, his thinking has evolved. He's like, I think he believes that they will win the championship. That if he trusts the process, they will. I'm not saying, I don't think he's making excuses. He's like, look, this is where I am. I already won a championship. I'm just trying to get better. Could you imagine if KD, James Harden, and Kyrie get better? It's over. It's over.
And all I'm saying,
Stephen A., he's focused on the journey, not the destination. Okay, Stephen A., it's about the journey. It's about growth.
Sure. But you got to close. You got to close.
ABC, always be closing. By the way, guys, one of the best gifts I ever gave, all of our former agent, Nick Khan, who's now with WWE, a friend of all of ours, I got him a big poster frame, matted the whole thing for his office with ABC, always be closing, because that man certainly did. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To the association we go. The Lakers are without their two superstars, but could get them back just in the nick of time before the playoffs. AD could return in 2 weeks, LeBron in three. Now, let's see how the purple and gold are currently faring in the West. So since AD's injury, the Lakers have treaded water at 12-13. They are in fifth place at 33-20. The Jazz, Suns, Clips, Nuggets are all ahead of the defending champs. Max Kellerman, how will AD and LeBron's injuries impact the stretch run and the playoffs, sir?
Assuming they come back healthy, it's going to help them, I think, because of the added responsibilities that role players have. Look, Talen Horton Tucker, who played well again, he's valued throughout the league. The reason the Lakers didn't make deadline deal was because in order to match salaries, other teams had to take back a lot of players they didn't want, and then what they really wanted was Talen Horton Tucker, and the Lakers were like, nah, it's good, we're going to keep him. So he's seen more kind of dimensions to his game. He's been able to display them and to work on them than he ordinarily would have to were LeBron and AD playing. And we've seen, obviously, Drummond, who's, you know, you knew he could walk in on a team that needed offense and give you 20 and 10 or 20 and 15 even, you know, and the role players just generally are able to show extra dimensions to their game. So if called upon in the moment of truth, they should be more comfortable doing that. I think that certainly helps the Lakers. And then there's the rest that LeBron is getting right now, not to mention AD, but LeBron in particular. When does this man ever have an offseason? He's in the finals every year. So, like, while other players get to go on vacation, LeBron has more intensity. You know, every minute is not created equal. The minutes you play at the end of a long season in a high-pressured situation is going to be more taxing, more draining. And this man does that every year for a million years now. Now he gets a nice, long rest. And finally, Stephen A., I'll say, when you look at the standings in the West, even if the Lakers were the 10th seed, and they've been treading water, they've been just about 500 since LeBron went down, meaning no LeBron, no AD, they're winning just about as much as they're losing. But even if they're the 10th seed, you think they're going to lose a play-in game or tournament when they have LeBron and AD to the 9 or 8 seed in the West? No, that ain't going to happen. And then, well, now they have a tougher schedule. Well, they lose a home game in the playoffs if someone can take them 7 games. But you're going to have to beat a bunch of nasty teams to begin with. Like, who do you want first? Does it really matter? You got the Mavs, the Blazers, the Nuggets, Clippers, Suns, Jazz. They're all tough. You're going to have to play at least 2 of them, if not 3, to get out of the West. I think in the long run, provided they're healthy, this actually helps the Lakers.
Well, there's nothing to talk about provided they're healthy, because if they're healthy, they have two of the top five players on the planet in Anthony Davis and LeBron James. I am not concerned at all about LeBron James. And he is the one player in this league that, you know what, take as much time as you need. I have nothing to say. Considering the level of success that he continuously puts forth, plus his willingness to play, the fact that he shows up, that regular season games matter, and he doesn't like to miss games, and he has a proven history to validate that, I don't give a damn if LeBron is healthy and decides to take a month off. It means nothing to me. He's earned it, okay? I don't think anybody else in the league has earned that as much as him. Let me get that out the way. Anthony Davis, that's a different matter, because Anthony Davis's durability is the question mark here. Anthony Davis healthy, there's not much to worry about because we know how lethal he is. But the injury that he sustained and the way he grabbed his leg and how eerily similar it looked to Kevin Durant with his calf and what have you, that's what has me worried about Anthony Davis. They say he's going to come back. I'm almost of the mindset that I'll believe it when I see it. And not only that, remember, the word is out. They're going to get physical with him. And there are teams in the Western Conference in position to get physical with him, especially Denver. When you think about the pickup of Aaron Gordon, and obviously with the Joker, with Jamal Murray and Barton to be back this year. He is back, but I'm saying he wasn't in the bubble play last year. When you consider the weapons that they have available to them, Denver is going to be incredibly, incredibly formidable. We see Utah. We know that. The Phoenix Suns have arrived. They are here, and you're going to have to deal with them. And so I think that because of the road, it's going to require the health of Anthony Davis to be right there, to be relatively pristine. It can't be a situation where he's walking around at 60, 70% or whatever, and he's being a bit tentative. No, he's going to have to bring his 50, A 60. Game in order for them to get out of the Western Conference. That's my concern. I'm not saying that he's going to be injured, Max, and he can't play at all. My concern is that I think that he needs to be better than 75% in order for the Lakers to get out of the Western Conference. And that's my concern.
50, 60%, you're right. And you're right to be concerned because of the nature of the injury. The calf bone's connected to the Achilles bone, as we've found out, right? I'll say this, though. They didn't used to have Andre Drummond. And that man is like, whatever you want to think about, a fit, whatever, he's better than an average starting center. He's a high-quality starting center, starting five. And before they had Drummond, you know, AD is best at the five on this team. Are we sure that's still the case? Because you talk about getting physical with him. But if he's playing the four, that might be less of a concern, especially the way AD was shooting it this season. And it's different. It's not just like you have a name brand at the five, but he's not really a starter anymore, right? Marc Gasol or someone like that. No, no, you got a guy who's a high-level starter in Drummond right now. You can legit play at the five, AD at the four. That might be your best team.
I want to say this real quick as an aside, guys. Marc Gasol, he was on the bench. He spoke about it, didn't say much about it, but obviously he was not happy that Andre Drummond arrived and essentially took his starting spot. I like Marc Gasol a lot. I really, really do. Andre Drummond is better.
Yeah, Gasol's a little longer in the tooth.
He's better. He's better.
Yeah, Drummond's been a great pickup. Stephen A., the Lakers are at the Knicks. That is today, so maybe you should go, but make sure to bring your ID. I cracked myself up.
Tell me about it. Right?
All right. Well,
I do have to bring my ID
there.
For the next year. Hey, Dolan still might send me up to the bleachers.
Bring your ID. Bring your passport. Oh, bring
don't
your
wear
license.
A band Dolan shirt.
Entry. Bring everything you got. Facts, Max. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
To the NFL we go. It's no secret that the Aaron Rodgers relationship with Packers brass has not always been peachy. By the way, Justin Bieber's new song, Peaches Fire. Example, they drafted another QB in the second round instead of getting him help last season. It's also no secret that his future is uncertain in Green Bay. Rob Demosky of ESPN reporting that an unnamed agent suggested that the Packers are refraining from making free agent moves until something is done with Rodgers' contract. Here's the quote. I don't know who's really calling the shots there, but it's screwing the Packers in a lot of ways right now because there's just no cap space. They've called me about one of my players and they said, hey, this is where we are now. And until we get something big done, hint, hint, we don't have any space. It's kind of like a lose-lose situation right now. Where is my guy, Marcus Spears? I need some good energy. There he is, bald and beautiful. Hi, Marcus.
What's
How
up, Mom?
How are you? Good to see you.
I'm doing
Nothing.
Well. First, I wore pink today because I wanted a pop of color to pay homage to you because I knew these other guys would look like they were going to damn Wall Street. So I popped color today for
Appreciate
you, Molly.
Appreciate you. Appreciate yeah. you. We bring the flavor. We try.
It's where the money
Marcus, I'll get to you.
That's where they keep the money.
Oh, don't give me police. Don't give me police. I'm going to come on one of your 8 shows, the one you do the fashion segment. If you want to go toe-to-toe, I will do runaway spin.
Actually, on Stephen A's World, I do have a segment called Concrete Runway. It would be my honor. Yeah. It would be my honor if you would show up on one of the shows. To actually judge some of these outfits that some people be wearing. You know what I'm saying? I actually would love you to do that.
And I'll take it very seriously.
I would never invite Max for that segment. I would never invite Max for that segment.
Is that the issue?
Not for that segment. Not for Concrete Runway. Max ain't giving nobody fashion
tips. Here's the thing. One last thing. When it comes to fashion, some of us like to show range, different looks. I think of myself as a chameleon. But Max just has his lane. He's clean. Yeah. It's a GQ look.
He
it
does.
Works for him.
That's a good way to look
at
it.
And that's what he does. You know what I mean?
Hold on. Let me put Max on blast. Now, that is no longer the case over the last 2 weeks. He's upped it completely.
Why?
But prior to 2 weeks ago, prior to him getting on that elliptical, prior to that, that was strictly above-the-waist look.
You ain't lying, but that was you
not,
ain't lying.
That was not the whole suit. It was only above the waist.
You ain't lying.
No, that it was not the whole suit.
Molly, here's the problem. When you put on that little, when you put on the COVID-15, you only have but so many options in your wardrobe.
2 weeks ago now,
you only got a couple
now.
Of things that'll fit.
He good now.
Listen.
For the first 3 years of living on 2 weeks, that was an above the waist look. You know what I'm saying? He ain't rocking the suit now.
I'll have a 6-pack by the summer, brother.
Mama knows what it's like to fluctuate. I feel your pain. That's all I gotta say. I feel your pain. But I'm back in studio full time in 2 weeks. I'll be all vaccinated. So, we all got to get it together for that because we can't just be waist up anymore. what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, we're talking about football. Stephen A., what should Rodgers want to do now?
To me, he should want to leave Green Bay. And again, if we're talking just football, of course I wouldn't say that because they would have been in back-to-back NFC Championship games. And we know from top to bottom they're a quality enough team, even though I think that's primarily because of Aaron Rodgers. I think if another quarterback was quarterbacking the Green Bay Packers, they'd barely make it to the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers is the guy that has them as title contenders. Having said all of that, my opinion isn't restricted to just about the football field. It's the way that the Packers organization has treated him. We give you your money, shut up and play. We handle everything else. But you're asking him for the better part of a decade to carry the damn franchise on his shoulders. The only thing other than Aaron Rodgers that was relevant in Green Bay for years was Clay Matthews' hair. That's it, okay? Nothing else mattered other than Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews' hair. And this man had them in the playoffs. He had them as title contenders. He's been to about 3 or 4 conference championship games. The manner in which he has been treated has been so disrespectful as far as I'm concerned, you know, especially with them moving up to draft Jordan Love, never giving him a first rounder to throw the ball to and what have you. They have just disregarded him. So, and because of that is why I feel strongly he shouldn't want to be there. From a football perspective, I get Max and anybody else's argument, but I'm taking into account all of those ancillary things that affects your mood, affects your enthusiastic approach to doing your job, affects your willingness and your desire and your desiring to be where he is. I don't think that's the case. As far as I'm concerned, I consider moonlighting for the host in Jeopardy every chance I get. And I hope that, you know what, if you're so confident in what you're doing as an organization and it's about collecting assets and things of that nature, why don't you put Aaron Rodgers on the trading mark, on the trading block, and watch how many people try to kick in your door to and offer the farm to get him, because he's that great. He's that elite. We all know it. And the Green Bay Packers know it, too. They just don't want to treat him like it. And that's the damn shame of it all. If I was him, I would not want to be in an environment like that. I'd have a difficult time looking at these people.
Hard feelings are hard feelings. But let me just say, you're being quite illogical, Captain. Yeah. Stephen A., that would be true, you know, 5 years ago with Mike McCarthy, and the league had passed him by. And you're right, there was no one to throw to. And at different times he's had good receiving corps, but there were times when he didn't. And also didn't have a defense, and you're right, and he carried them to winning records, and every season in the preseason they were among the favorites, maybe not the very top tier, but the next tier to win the Super Bowl because they had Aaron Rodgers. And back then, I'd agree with you if you wanted to bring this up. Fact of the matter is, right now, if you're logical, see the eyebrow, the Spock eyebrow going up, if you're logical, imagine if Rodgers was on another team and was disgruntled, wanted out, and we were surveying the landscape. What would be a perfect fit? We would look at Green Bay as one of the candidates. They got a real good young coach. Year one with Aaron Rodgers, they win 13 games, beat a Seattle team with Russell Wilson. Year two, they're in the NFC Championship game with a chance to win it. Rodgers didn't run for the end zone, and then coach blundered after that. They had a chance to win the Super Bowl. I think they get by Tampa, they would have won the Super Bowl given the Chiefs' injury. And now when you look, you ask, well, why not put him on the trading block right now? You know why? Because they could easily win the Super Bowl this year. Now, Green Bay, this is the way they do it. They did it to Favre, too. They'll do the quarterback, even if he's the biggest star in sport. They'll do him dirty. If they identify a dude in the draft, they go, this guy right here, we're going to grab him. Even if he has to sit for a couple years, we're going to grab him. We think he's special. They felt that way about Jordan Love. You know, and they thought, okay, let's grab our next guy now. Didn't do Aaron Rodgers any favors there. But that's the way they operated with Brett Favre. Favre had plenty in the tank. And they grab Aaron Rodgers in the first round. You know, like, it was the same thing. Now, should he want out? That's really up to him. If San Francisco, in spite of spending all that draft capital to trade up and get a quarterback, were willing to bring, okay, there are a couple of teams around the league you could argue maybe would be even better for Rodgers. But if you put hurt feelings aside for a second, and just look at what's best for his football career. He just won an MVP, and arguably his greatest season, arguably the best quarterback ever, just had his greatest season with this coach. And they stand to get even better. They don't have that many needs on this team, and they stand to get even better in this draft. No, I really think what Rodgers should want is a big fat contract from the Green Bay Packers. Now, their hesitancy to give him that we can talk about, but that's what he should want.
I mean, both of you guys make logical points, and it depends on how you look at it from whatever perspective or whatever bird's eye view you have. But Aaron Rodgers is out of there, Max. Like, you look at this situation, right? What franchise quarterback do we know that is in good standing with his organization that won't renegotiate a contract in order? Because we keep saying he needs more and they need to add more weapons. Well, renegotiating your contract will give them the ability to do that. Yeah. Now, maybe they won't, but it will give them that ability. That, to me, is the telltale sign. When you think about these guys that have restructured, Tom Brady extended. Patrick Mahomes took a restructure this year after signing for $500 million. When I was in Dallas, Romo continuously restructured his contract in order to build and facilitate a better team being around those guys. This is the part for me that is telling me more than what Aaron Rodgers is saying, more than what the Green Bay Packers are saying, or anyone else that's talking about this situation. If Aaron Rodgers feels good about the Green Bay Packers, all out of all of those things you just said, Max, this should be something that we shouldn't even be talking about. We should be talking about Aaron Rodgers restructuring this contract and the Green Bay Packers going into this draft to help more, give him more of what he needs or he feels he needs in order to win a Super Bowl. But that's not the conversation we're having. We are having a conversation about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers being at an impasse, being in a conversation, being in a relationship that Aaron is not willing to work out or facilitate the opportunity for them to go make moves. So, yes, as much as they've mismanaged putting people around him in the eyes of everybody out there, and as much as we've said Aaron Rodgers deserves better and to have more weapons around him. Now, I've been one of those guys that said, look, he could have did some things in that NFC Championship that could have gave his team a chance to win. But without him, they don't even have that option. I'll take you guys back. Do y'all remember the Chicago Bears game when Kaiser had to come in for a little bit because we thought Aaron Rodgers tore his knee up? And did y'all see the Green Bay Packers in that game?
Oh, yeah.
And then when Aaron Rodgers came back, he brought the Packers back against that defense. And people have to remember. So bottom line is, both of you said are logical. But Aaron Rodgers is looking at this landscape. Tampa Bay went all in for Tom Brady. Kansas City went all in for Patrick Mahomes. All right. The Cleveland Browns went all in for Baker Mayfield. Russell Wilson got DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett just got locked up. So when you look at all of these guys around the league that we talk about Super Bowl caliber or guys that can lead teams to Super Bowl, it looks like these teams are trying to facilitate that for them, including Matt Stafford going to L.A.
They got Adams, they got Jones, they got a couple of real athletic running backs. They have a number one wideout who's a top number one wideout. They have weapons for Aaron Rodgers. They could probably get a little more depth
at
wideout in the draft. They need to replace an offensive lineman in the draft, get a little help in the secondary. Every team has needs. I think they're pretty stacked, actually. I think they're one of the more balanced, high-end talent teams in the league. Let me just say this, Marcus, about your point about restructuring. This is what I take away where maybe we're all on the same page. I don't know. To me, that's Green Bay. Green Bay wants to have their cake and eat it too. Hey, restructure to help us now, but no, we're not going to give you what you want long term because now it's harder to deal you, right? Then we got to take a path down the road. Okay, that's on Green Bay. I'm not arguing that. I'm saying what Rodgers should want, is for Green Bay to get off that and say, okay, look, whatever, we got Jordan Love. Eventually, he'll take over because you're not going to play forever. But for the foreseeable future, here, let's back up the Brinks truck. What do you need to restructure? That's what Green Bay ought to do. That's what he should want.
And Max, that's the point, right? Like, that's the point. That's the conversation we're having. This should be a normal transaction because you have one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the position. It should not be this difficult, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or whether it's the Green Bay Packers. But Aaron Rodgers, from my perspective, is looking around this league and seeing commitments being made to these quarterbacks that teams feel like they can win a Super Bowl with, and his team is not doing that. And Max, to your point, I've been one to say, what else do you need?
Hold on, guys.
You've been to the NFC Championship. Bakhtiari was hurt. Go ahead, Stephen A.
Let me ask y'all both, because I think y'all are both missing it. From a football perspective, I'm not disagreeing with any points that you made. I'm right with y'all. But I ask you both this question, literally, not a rhetorical question, a literal question. So you're stars. I know that's hard for you to imagine, Max, because you work with me. But just imagine for a second you're the star. Okay, just imagine for a second, okay?
Oh, my God.
Okay, just imagine this for a second, you know what I'm saying?
Does someone want to tell him?
And Marcus Spears, imagine it for yourself, okay? Just imagine for a second, right? And then you're making suggestions, okay? You're making suggestions. You've been producing. You've shown your greatness. You've been producing. Even though the company makes decisions that ultimately put you in a position to win, you have watched them let you carry the franchise on your back, and they've told you your opinion means nothing to them. They will do what they want to do. Now, it just so happens that nothing that they did forced you to collapse and fall off the radar. But they made it a point
to
basically say to you, you don't matter. We do.
Let me ask you something,
if they say that to you, how do you, in all seriousness, how do y'all respond to that?
Okay,
is that someplace you want to be?
But yeah, hold on. Let me ask you something. I'll pose it to both of you. You're both stars. Let's say they did that to you. Company did it to you. Just like that. Did you dirty. Just like they did Aaron Rodgers. And then eventually they put a certain number of zeros at the end of a number on a check and say, let's let bygones be bygones.
Nope.
You're set up to win. You got the right team around you.
I got you.
Don't want the dough?
I got you. When we talk about stars, Molly can confirm this. What does Max Kellerman religiously say? I don't want to hear anything about money. You're going to get that money no matter what. Somebody's going to give it to you. That's what you say, Max. So in other words, he's going to get the money wherever he goes.
So what I'm saying is if you're going to get the money, then you want to be in the right situation.
No, you want to be happy.
Okay, fine. I can't make Aaron Rodgers want to be in Green Bay. If you don't want to be there, that's right. I'm saying if you're asking my opinion,
yo, this is very similar.
How many situations are better in Green Bay right now for him?
But it's the similar question. You could have asked the same question about Tom Brady in New England. Like
he didn't have anything around him. I'm
talking about the psychological part of it, Max. Right? Like I'm comfortable here. I've won a lot. We've reached a level of success, so I could sit in that. The point is to Stephen A. Aaron Rodgers don't want to sit in that. That's what Stephen A is saying. He doesn't want to sit in that, regardless of if the football situation has been good. And probably 75% is attributed to his talent and what he has the ability to do. Aaron Rodgers is in a completely different spot.
So he believes
as to where he should go to be happy and get money.
And because he knows they're winning because of him, that makes him even more miserable because you're dismissing me, but I'm still delivering for you even though I'm not happy with you.
Yeah.
Sounds personal now. All right, let's keep going here, guys. Everyone knows Trevor Lawrence is expected to be the top pick in this month's NFL draft. Obviously, it's about 2 weeks away with Zach Wilson going right behind him at second overall. But during an appearance on ESPN Radio's Dari and Mel, former NFL Executive of the Year Randy Mueller says Wilson may have the upper hand in the transition from Saturdays to Sundays. Take a listen, y'all.
The instincts that he showed, the anticipation that he shows, I just think he's further along in a pro scheme of development. He's going to throw people open. He throws a lot of balls that I think Trevor Lawrence will be able to throw and physically control in that system at Clemson. He just hasn't been forced to make those. So I just see a little more instinctive, ready to go right now in Zach Wilson. But I also think Trevor Lawrence has more upside, like I said, because of the physical skill set.
Max, up first. Yeah. Are you sold on Wilson?
Yeah, I am. I even think the Jets are in an enviable position because it almost reminds me a little bit when the Knicks had the fourth pick in the draft and Porzingis fell to them, right? Because it was going to be Karl-Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell, and you know, like you knew that Porzingis was going to be the fourth guy, so you kind of had to take him and he fell into your lap and maybe he was going to be the best guy. I feel that way about Zach Wilson. Yes, I did not see him nearly as much as I saw Justin Fields. And about a month ago when everyone was talking, Zach Wilson ahead of Justin Fields, would everyone lose their mind? Justin Fields is going to be excellent. Why would you put Zach Wilson ahead of him? Since then, I've watched a lot more Zach Wilson. He looks like the truth to me, y'all. Like, you know, who knows how it translates on the next level, but if I had to guess, I think he has a good shot to be the best quarterback in this class, including Trevor Lawrence. Yes, you'd have to take Lawrence first. He has, you know, he checks every box, but damn, Zach Wilson looks like the truth to me. And I think that the Jets, the fact that they're drafting second, so the Trevor Lawrence decision is off their plate, they just get to take Zach Wilson, is an enviable position. I am a believer.
I want to apologize to Zach Wilson ahead of time. I have not really watched him play. I mean, stop the presses. I live in New York. Even though I spent some time in L.A., I apologize that I didn't watch Brigham Young University. I truly apologize that I was not exposed, You understand? To their games or whatever. So I watched some stuff on YouTube. And Max, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I'm not trying to dismiss, not even disagree with your breakdown and what you said, Max. I get it. I watched him. I watched his arm talent. I watched the wheels. I see him. He looks a little bit undersized at times, etc. Mm-hmm. But overall, I see the skills there. But Max, you know where I'm going. I know Molly knows where I'm going. Pastor Spears, come on now. You know where I'm going. Competition. I know. I saw who Trevor Lawrence played against. Mm-hmm. I saw who Justin Fields played against. I ain't even thinking about Trey Lance in North Dakota State because Carson Wentz, that's me. He's done made life hard for him the way he nosedived over the last year, even though I believe in Carson Wentz, and I believe there's an upside to that. Let me break down. I think it's my obligation, Max, Molly, Pastor Spears. I think it's my obligation bring up the competition that Luke Wilson played against this year. May I?
Sure.
Navy, Troy, Louisiana Tech, UTSA, Houston, Texas State, Western Kentucky, Boise State, North Alabama, not Alabama, North Alabama. Oh, by the way, you lost to Coastal Carolina. Lost to Coastal Carolina.
So who's who?
San Diego State. And, of course, UCF. I mean, I apologize. I apologize. Forget to Mel Kiper, to Todd McShay, to the NFL aficionados out there, the former NFL players who have forgotten more football than I would ever know, to Maximilian. I mean, I'm sure I know why you appreciate. I mean, BYU grad. I mean, it's not Columbia, but there's a relationship there. I get it, Max. But all I'm trying to say is this.
BYU all I'm trying to say, Columbia.
All I'm trying to say is this. Competition matters. And when I just named who I named, when we talked about the playoffs, when we talked about teams in the top 10, top 15, top 20 ranked teams in the nation.
Did what you will about Mac Jones.
Did any of those names come up? I'm just saying. You know, Zach Wilson, all of my brother, I'm rooting for you. I wish all the best. I just don't know. I just don't know.
Listen, man. First, Zach Wilson is tremendously talented. Let me say that. Okay. All right. The things that he's done, his arm strength, his ability to make off script plays, the throws, all of that stuff is successful. And he does, if you're looking at his film, he does give his receivers did a phenomenal job winning 50-50 balls this year as well. So it looks like Zach Wilson has the goods. As my issue, okay? And I'm not, to that point, I'm not one of these quarterback breakdown gurus. I look at the game from a defensive perspective. I'm more terrified of Justin Fields than I am of Zach Wilson. All right. Let me just say that. And if you're asking me, am I sold on Zach Wilson? I ain't sold on none of these quarterbacks because we don't know if any of them are going to turn out to be good. But what we're doing at this point, as we get closer to the draft, is we basically drafting off traits and potential. That's what we're talking about. Right. Obviously, everybody thinks Trevor Lawrence translates immediately and he'll be Jacksonville's pick and he'll go in and be inserted, be a starter and have success in the same vein as we saw Justin Herbert this year in Los Angeles with the Chargers. So Zach, me being sold on Zach Wilson would be an absolute lie if I told y'all that. Do I think he has a very high ceiling and can pan out to be a really good quarterback in this league? Absolutely. With that being said, there is nothing that tells me Zach Wilson from Brigham Young is a better quarterback than Justin Fields. All right, let's get rid of Ohio State and the competition. I'm not even talking about that. What I'm talking about is if we're drafting these guys off potential, and what their ceilings are,
Marcus,
Justin Fields should
maybe
be
Trey
the guy.
Lance, if
Max,
you're about
Max and Marcus Smith. I'm sorry, but you know me. Who said that? Randy Mueller. I would remind everybody, let me introduce you to Randy Mueller. He was an executive for 9 years in the NFL. Seattle, New Orleans, Miami. In 9 seasons, he had 2 winning seasons. 2. Okay? And the last year he was an executive was for the Miami Dolphins in 2007, who were 1-15. I'm just
going to be in that man's.
I wasn't going to say it.
You won an NFL game that year.
You want to go out there.
Why you got to be all up in his business and just try to shoot him down like that?
He put himself out there. Did I bring up Randy Mueller? Have you ever
heard of Randy Mueller? By the way, Stephen A., Zach Wilson, 6'3", 210. He's not a small guy. And I hear what everyone's.
Did I bring up Randy Mueller? Did I do that?
You did not?
I was minding my business. We got to see who makes the statement,
the
right?
The reason Stephen A. is so concerned about resumes and competition is because he looks at yours, Max, and he has to go up against you every day. So he knows what it's like to face tough competition day in and day out. And that's why he respects it. So that's why it's so important to him.
Against soft competition. I get it.
Let's move on. It's an exciting day in Tennessee State football as Eddie George has been named their next head coach. Right. George starred for the Titans as running back and won the Heisman Trophy in 95 at Ohio State, but does not have any coaching experience. Mr. Smith, what is the impact of George getting the job at Tennessee State?
Okay, well, future reference, when we're addressing a serious subject like this, don't make me laugh so hard beforehand. Now let me get this out of the way. I love the fact that a guy like Eddie George and former NFL players are getting opportunities at HBCUs. Their presence, the fact that they made it to the highest level and they're going to go to an HBCU. I know Eddie George came from Ohio State, but he's a bright brother, very smart, knows his football, was a high achiever as well. I love the guy personally. I'm very happy for him. And the way he's going to affect those young men at HBCUs, I think is going to be in a profoundly positive way. And I think it sends the message to the rest of the football world. Maybe we should be paying more attention to HBCUs, which is why there's an HBCU NFL scouting combine this week coming up in Alabama.
I think it's great. The only thing I would say is provided, because Stephen A., we talk a lot about African-American hires at head coaching positions. Provided it's not an HBCU as a consolation prize for not getting jobs at programs considered like higher powered. And then also there's the chance that a big name who is a successful coach can turn the HBCU into a higher powered program.
Yo, I'm excited. He's talking about bringing Jeff Fisher in coaching, and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is already on that staff. Good luck, Eddie G.
Stephen A. loves Jeff Fisher, too. Eddie George will be joining us tomorrow on First Take. That'll be fun, so we'll ask him all about it. Marcus Spears will be on NFL Live with my girl Laura and Dan. That's at 4 Eastern. Fellas, I'll see you, handsome devils, in the morning.